So this morning, I'm going to be dealing with the subject of deception. Deception. The text is taken from 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verses 1 to 2. And it says, "Now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron."
But Paul was speaking to Timothy in this particular matter. He was giving him an insight as to what will happen as time goes on. I've chosen for a theme, beware of worldly actions. Beware of worldly actions. And the title of this particular discourse this morning, I've taken one from the pastor, SOS, meaning save our souls, but we have sincerity over sin. We have to be sincere, if not sin will overtake us. Now this morning I'm going to only have the opportunity to go through the introduction with you, and this will be done over probably the next 2 or 3 weeks, where we will go through this particular series, that we will be put in a position where we can overcome the sins of our lives because of the sincerity of our hearts, the sincerity of our minds, the sincerity in general. So let's go. So in March last year, I brought a similar teaching. At that time, I spoke mainly of deception from the perspective of a nation, even though I showed how the individual fitted in. I did not go too in-depth into the personal level. In this series, I will be focusing more on how the individual can be deceived, hence the title, SOS, Save Our Souls, Sincerity Over Sin. And this morning I want to thank God and pray that whatever I say and do, Lord God, will be to your honor and to your glory. And that your people, Father, would hear your word and appropriate it to their hearts and to their lives in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. So if there's any doubt in anyone's mind that these times the spirit of deception is rampant, then I suggest to you to read 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verses 1 to 7. I hear what it says. He says, "But mark this." He starts off with, "But mark this." In other words, take heed. "There will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves," and we know this is happening. "Lovers of money," we know that is happening now. "Boastful," we can see that. "Proud," yes. "Abusive," yes. "Disobedient to their parents," even more, yes. "Ungrateful," oh my goodness. "Unholy," without love, we know this is happening. "Unforgiving," slanderous. "Without self-control," brutal. "Not lovers of the good," treacherous, harsh,
rash,
"conceited," lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Yep. "Having a form of godliness but denying his power," have nothing to do with such people, is what the Apostle Paul was saying. He said they are the kind of who worm their way into homes and gain control over gullible women, who are loaded down with sin and swayed by all kinds of evil desires, always learning but never able to come to a knowledge of the truth. My God. After reading that, I don't know what else to say. So when we look around our society, this is the exact condition that people are in, the exact. And this was written hundreds of years before. So the Apostle Paul started out by saying, "Mark, but mark this." The King James Version says, "This know also. With these words, the Apostle Paul is saying to the young Timothy to take careful attention. He goes on to prophesy of the times to come. And this is what one of the commentators said about this. He said, the Apostle Paul foretells the rise of dangerous enemies to the gospel. He foretells what is going to happen to the gospel. Because he understood. God spoke to him and let him know. And I see this all across the world. From the persecution of people for their Christian beliefs. People are being burnt alive, slaughtered like animals, mass executions, and even imprisonment. These things may not be happening in our country, but the agenda is the same. Here, we are being ridiculed on our workplaces, made to work in hostile conditions with fellow workers, constantly mocked about our faith, opposed for standing for righteousness, and subjected to all kinds of unkind acts because of our integrity. All that's happening in this country. These things may seem subtle as compared to the outside world, but the effects are the very same. The gospel of Jesus Christ is under attack. Now, this attack is being done under the spirit of deception. Hear me now. Under the spirit of deception. Non-believers are doing things believing that what they're doing is right. The Apostle Paul describes them as not lovers of the good. In places where there's not civil unrest or war, you will find the enemy using the spirit of deception. And mind you, he is using the same spirit on the believer as well. Paul describes those as having a form of godliness, but denying its power. He goes on to say in verse 6, there are the kind who worm their way into homes and gain control over gullible women, who are loaded down with sin and are slain by all kinds of evil desires, always learning but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now these are the words, these are scathing words, but these are the remarks of the Apostle Paul, not me. I don't want persons to go away from here on his face and say, I was wrong as against me. These things were spoken by the Apostle Paul. I'm just reading them. So I will beseech you, please don't assassinate the messenger. If we are honest with ourselves, we can say that it is not only women who are these people who are gullible. Men too are just as gullible. In the context of the society that this was written, women were mainly at home. In those days, the enemy was attacking then, but in these days, the enemy is not interested whether that person is at home, at work, or even unemployed. Their emphasis and focus is to deceive persons. Now, let us not be naive to think that it is not in the house of God. Don't let us be naive. Because 2 Peter chapter 2 and verses 1 to 3 says this. But there are also false prophets among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you. They will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the sovereign Lord who bought them, bringing swift destruction on themselves. Verse 2. Many will follow their depraved conduct and will bring the way of truth into dispute. In their greed, these teachers will exploit you with fabricated stories. Their condemnation has long been hanging over them, and their destruction has not been sleeping. Now, to get full context to these verses, we must go back to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 19 to 21, where the Apostle Paul was telling his audience that the message that they heard was a reliable message, and that they were to listen and heed the instructions. They were told to be fully alert. This is what our sister Margot would have spoken and told us only a couple weeks ago. She told us that it is our responsibility to remain alert, so that when we say, or when it is said in these verses, we will understand what the author is saying. Now let's pick it up at verse 19. It says, we also have the prophetic message as something completely reliable, and you will be well to pay attention to it, as it is a light shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your heart. And that's speaking about Jesus himself and salvation. Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation of things. Verse 21. For prophecy, and I make the emphasis here, never had its origin in human will. But prophets, though human, spoke from God. Another emphasis. As they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. So it never had its origin in the human thought. And the prophets, though they were human, were carried along by the Holy Spirit. So in other words, prophets only spoke what they were told. And what they were told came directly from the Holy Spirit. But in these times, there are those who say they're prophets, but they haven't been proven. And they haven't been proven prophetically. And we could mention what happened a couple of weeks ago, when many were fooled by an individual or individuals that Jesus was returning on a particular day. As you know, that day came, and that day went. And there was no turning up of Jesus. So we know that these people who said that they were prophets, or that they had a prophetic word, were none less than, and I'm using the word, fraud. Alright? Christ did not return, as you all know. We all still here. And these people are in our assemblies. They sit among us. We know them. So I asked the question, as our brother Henderson has asked, who are we listening to? Are we to test what we hear? Yes. And we are to test it against the Holy Spirit. And we are to test it against the Word of God. Just as the early Berean church did. Now, in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 3, it says, above all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. Here's another one, a caution to believers. It comes from 1 John chapter 2 and verses 18 to 19, and it says, dear children, this is the last hour. And as you heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come. This is how we know that it's the last hour. Here's the emphasis. They went out from us. In other words, they were part of the church. They went out from us. But they did not really belong to us. You understand the difference? It may seem subtle, But it is very, very evident. They were among us, but they were not. They didn't belong to us. For if they had belonged to us, they would have remained with us. But their going shows that none of them belonged to us. And that is something that's happening in the church right now. We have people who sit among us, people who are part of what we think are part of the congregation, part of membership, or you know, they're what you call their partners. But they're nearly not, they don't belong to us. Because they would have spread things that were not of us. So in all these scriptures, we can see that the heart of these men were or are not sincere. They allow the sin of deception to overcome them. Hear what the psalmist David said. And this one is very, very... When I read this, I understood where the psalmist David was. It's in Psalm 55, and we were speaking of verse 20 to 21. Hear what the psalmist David said. He said, "My companion attacks his friends." Imagine that. My companion attacks his friends. He violates his covenant. In other words, he has given up or walked the covenant that he had with Christ and amongst us because he has attacked them. He said, his talk is smooth as butter. And we would say, smooth with a V. Smooth. That says how smooth it was. It goes on, it says, yet war is in his heart. His words are more soothing than oil. Yet they are drawn swords. If we just let that, you know, get into our spirits, we know this is happening across the length and breadth of Christendom. There are people who talk real, real smooth. Smooth, smooth, smooth. With a V. Then they say how smooth it is. And it says that what they say is soothing as all. When you hear these things, you tell yourself, well, that will come be good. That will come off reassuring. That is, you know, that's just like water off me, duck back, this thing. Wow. And we go on and we're just taken away. So when we as believers hear these things, then it can put us in a place where we say, who can we believe? I say to us today, believe in the word of God, not men. And that one should come up on your screen. Believe in the word of God, not men. Hear what Jeremiah said. And Jeremiah was one of these prophets that would have spoken. He was called a weeping prophet. In other words, every time he saw things, he would, you know, lament, and Jeremiah was just overtaken by the things that he would have had spoken when God spoke to him. Jeremiah was just that. Hear what Jeremiah says in chapter 17 of Jeremiah, verses 5 to 11. He said, cursed is the one who trusts in man, who draws strength from mere flesh, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. Now, let's just hone in there. He said, cursed is that man. In other words, that man will not receive anything from God. He goes on in verse 6, he says, that person will be like a bush in the wilderness, sorry, in the wasteland. They will not see prosperity when it comes. They will dwell in the parched places of the desert, in a salt land where no one lives. Another thing to just take in and try to understand. But he makes a comparison. Because Jeremiah the prophet didn't just tell you about what the gloom was. He was also giving you a comparison for you to know that it is all right for you to remain a child of God. He says in verse 7, but blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in Him. Blessed. So we heard first that when you put your hope and trust in men, you are cursed. But when you put your hope and trust in God, you are blessed. Here are these blessings. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Let me tell you, heat coming now will not. Its leaves are always green. Now that's only happening up here, Charlie. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. Hallelujah. He goes on. Then he tells us now about what is going on with persons and people. He says, the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? Now when he said that, I had to look at my own heart. And I tell myself, but you know, sometimes you are in a place where you just don't understand what you're doing. You just don't understand. Yesterday I was making a trip. I was doing some work at a house and I had to go to the hardware. So I was just, I got a vehicle and I gone down the road. Somehow in my head, I had the hardware one place. And somehow the vehicle was turning in another direction. So I swung off the road and I'm down and I drove in and that kind of thing that I still got the hardware picture in my head. And then I looked up and I realized, okay, but this is not the road to the hardware at all. In fact, where I swung off the road and took my long detour, by the time I went round the detour, I ended back up at the same place I swung off the road. And I tell myself, what? Where had I gone? Although I know where the hardware was, somehow I wasn't driving in that direction. That is when they said to us that these hearts are deceitful. I could not believe that my own mind deceived me in that way. Carry me down this road. I don't know if it wanted to show me something. Or maybe it was diverting me away from something that was happening. All those things are possible. But I saw and I stood right there and I said, you're getting old, about me. Starting to, you know, go off. Things in all the way. You know, the advantages are not really tough anymore. No, they didn't come here. I just tell you what happened. But in verse 10, Jeremiah says, I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind. He searches the heart and he examines the mind. To reward each person according to their conduct, according to what their deeds deserve. And very many times we know we do not get what our deeds deserve because of grace. We have one at Bible school now where persons, but from the time they say we're given grace, just look at me and say, we're not given grace, Brother Terrell, not Maxine. Because I had to tell them at one session, they said, Terrell, you need grace. I tell them, boy, if I get on grace at all, they're in trouble. Because I got back to home. So there's no carry home grace. Grace don't stop right where she is. So every time that word comes up at Bible school, they say, Maxine, going home at you. So you would know. So we're given grace. It says, like a partridge that hath its egg, it did not lay, are those who gain riches by unjust means. When their lives are half gone, their riches will desert them, and in the end they will prove to be fools. And I want us to go over these things and think about these things and study these things out. Because that spirit of deception is out there. As I told you, my mind deceived me at the time. But the spirit of deception is real. It is real. It tells us one thing that is completely false. Yet for all it looks like the truth. When Eve and Adam were in the Garden of Eden, and notice what I said, Eve and Adam, not Adam and Eve. When Eve and Adam were standing before the serpent, he spoke to Eve. Well, you know Adam is standing right there. And he told Eve things that at the time she did not, you know, get the understanding. When the serpent came and said, but did God really say not to eat? Did he really say it? Doubt entered her mind. He says, oh, I took that out of my head. I didn't say nothing. I was telling Maxine only the other day that red men or red women really get really into the heart of men. That men will do things and don't even know they're doing them. When they get right into the heart of men, they could get, yeah, I remember. They could get them to do anything. Don't matter what it is. And anyone who will hear that say it differently, I know you're just covering up for other women. You all can get men to do anything for the once you get into the heart. Thank you. Praise God. Can get them to do anything. And I want us to understand that when that spirit of deception gets in, it makes us do things that we would not have done, things that would be far beyond our own understanding or imagination. We would not even understand what we're doing until it is far too late. And if we are not conscious of what we are doing, if we do not take the time to be alert, then the spirit of deception will get us. It is out there, it is real. Very many times, people who minister from the pulpit just don't see no wrong, nothing wrong in going home and beating the wife. They see nothing wrong with it. You know what they do? They go home, beat her, and then say, Lord, forgive me. And the feeling that he did. So don't let us believe as though that what we are being told is something really strange, that we got it under control. From the time we say we got it under control, the spirit of deception has already deceived us. Because we don't have it under control. We don't really understand how this spirit works. It is hard for us at times to say, man, today I really feel it in church. I ain't feeling it today. You mean feeling it today? You're to get up and go because you're to be amongst the believers. The spirit of deception is there telling you one thing because it wants you to say, and the more it can tell you that, and the more regularly it can tell you that, the further you are drifting away. I can tell you that from personal experience. This is something I'm saying that I don't know. I know. As I said, this word is for me too. At one point in time, I was struggling to pray. Struggling. Because the spirit of deception said, but you're not praying this morning. You know you're tired. Give yourself a break. Do it tomorrow. And tomorrow come. And I said, you're still tired. You know, give yourself another break. Do it tomorrow. And then eventually I thought, stop it. But it did not. Why pray? What was going on? And the Holy Spirit has answered, that is spirit of deception. you're being deceived, my brother. And even though at the time the pastor did not come and ask me to do a word a particular day, the Holy Spirit had already done it. Is the word I want you to speak, though? Because now you have personal experience, you know. It's in that that you just read about. You have an experience. And when my sister, Margot, came and told us about being alert, I said, well, that's true, you're going to be alert. Remember, Brother Henderson come and say, that, who are you listening to? Yeah. Who is Lady listening to? Wait, all it was the Holy Spirit. Well, the Holy Spirit ain't got to tell me, well, don't pray to there. Take a little ease. You're pretty warm. He would not tell me that. So you have to make the effort. And you remember, Sister Marva was saying, you're going to make every effort. It ain't easy. I ain't telling the boy that walking, and I was spoken this with our brothers at the George General Woman Center. They see this Christian like it ain't easy. But it is worth it.
Amen.
And you can get it done. It is who you're listening to. Sometimes you'll be listening to your friends. Myself and Maxine, we were by a friend, and she was telling us about how things were going and stuff like that, and I understood, and I heard, and Maxine listened, and but I'm there saying, but this is all going on in my head, because they can't talk these kinds of things, but I know if you got somebody and talk these kinds of things, they know what happened, they were going to see the door. Not by keeping these things in my mind, I've made it for some opportune time that I might be able to, you know, just quietly whisper them to her. But she's being deceived. She believes that sometimes, you know, going out with friends and that kind of thing, and, you know, we're going to a little lime and a little karaoke, and I end at church. These are the things that deceive us. They draw us away from God. And if you're not being alert or you're not being careful, it draws us further and further away. I likened it to a ship that is moored to the shore. You know, it all tied up there and everything, and then something gets loose. And the ship just drifts off a little bit. I can still see the shore, I can still see it, and I can still see the rope connected, but it drifts a little more. And then it drifts a little more. And then you start seeing the shore looking smaller. And you drift a little more, but you're not taking sufficient attention as to how you're drifting. You're looking out to sea. And then you're there looking out to sea, and you're drifting away from the shore. And by the time, if you do catch yourself, you look back, and you see the shore the more. It is how do you get back to shore? Very many times, many persons don't get back to shore. Because they're so far away, they don't even know what direction to take off in to get back to the shore. The spirit of deception is such that it allows us, any move you fast, or they move fast, they can realize you're moving. I remember a time I was on a cruise ship. And let me tell you, be careful with a cruise ship. I don't think if you're near the engine, be more careful. Because it just puts you in that kind of thing. And next thing you're off to sleep. And you'll be sleeping. And sleeping. And you don't even know when morning comes. Nothing. You'll just be sleeping. Because it puts you in such a comfortable, relaxed mode of state that you don't realize that you sleep very, very long. One time when we were on the cruise, I came back and said, see me, I'm standing down here. Because I would sleep all day and night. So when I know it's so dark, then I come down here. Or when I'm real tired. Because if I stay, I ain't gonna see nothing. That's what the spirit of deception does. Quietly, slowly, drifts us away. So then next thing you hear, we're so far offshore that we don't know. I want us to always remember that coming to the house of God is not a chore. kids not to church isn't something you do because you haven't got anything else to do. It isn't something that you do because everybody else is doing it. It isn't something to do because. And I heard a marvelous testimony only Wednesday of a wife that can pray. And that was an outstanding testimony. And here come the tears. Well, it couldn't see me, but I was very glad. But I near come to tears. Because I said, if that wife allowed the spirit of deception to take her away, her husband would not have been saved today. But she did not. She kept up praying. And listen, this is part of the testimony that not me down. She didn't tell you to. God didn't tell you to tell her. Of the many years, right? Tell her how many years she telling her that. Years that she did pray. She did not allow that spirit to take her away. Because she knew she had to stand in that gap. She had to remain there. And say that something similar happened to me. I don't know what it was. I don't know if it was Maxine. I don't know if it was my mother. I don't know. Somebody prayed for me too. And somebody prayed for you too. And somebody continues to pray for you. We here at Reformation Life is praying for everyone who ever walked through those doors. Every time. Because we know you need someone standing in the gap for you. Because the spirit of deception is real. It keeps your mind telling you, all right, I can do it next week. I can do it next year. I can do it this other time. Because that's where it wants to hold you and keep you, you know, just in bondage. When I got saved, and I could tell you this, a whole bit took off for me. And I tell myself, well, if I didn't know this, why could I get saved every day? I won't go too far to tell people before eaters that when they eat pork, they say, Lord, have mercy. If I know pork, it's all good, I'm eating it every day. All I'm telling us is that that spirit of deception, that spirit is right there, it's real. I want to end this morning with a commentary from Matthew Henry concerning this same Jeremiah chapter 17 and verses 5 to 11. And I quote, he who puts confidence in man shall be like the heath in a desert. Now, a heath, I have to look at this. A heath is a tract of open and uncultivated land. They call it wasteland overgrown by shrubs. So when I saw that word, I thought that it had misspelled health, but it was heath. He said, a naked tree, a sorry shrub, the product of barren ground, useless and worthless. Those who trust in their own righteousness and strength and think that they can be without Christ, make flesh their arm, and their souls cannot prosper in grace or comfort. You hear that? May you make this whole thing about yourself, you make it into a flesh with arm. It's like their arm is something that they use. They can't prosper, it says, in grace and comfort. Let me go on. Here the comparison again. Those who make God their hope shall flourish like a tree, always green, and we've heard that. Whose leaves do not wither, they shall be fixed in peace and satisfaction of mind. They shall not be anxious in the year of a drought. Those who make God their hope have enough in them to make up the want of creature comforts, because we like creature comforts, you know. People down our family say creature comforts, but you know, we like ASP, and we like nice cushion chairs, and that kind of thing. That's creature comfort. I know some of them might say ASP in a comfort, more ASP is a necessity. But let me let it here. Let's go on. He said, "There shall not cease from yielding fruit in the holiness and good works." You hear that? Their heart, the consciousness of man in his corrupt and fallen state, is deceitful above all things. It calls evil good and good evil, and Christ speaks to those to whom it does not belong. Well, that's what's happening. Hear this. Hearing the heart is desperately wicked. It is deadly. It is desperate. The case is bad indeed. If the consciousness which we should set right the errors of our faculties is the leader of delusion. You imagine that? If that the leader of delusion, it's bad indeed. The commentator goes on, he says, we cannot know our own hearts or what they will do in the hour of temptation. That is true. Who can understand his errors? And this is something I know persons within the normal scheme of things, the believers, when I can look over things and see their own errors. Myself and Maxim, we go through some things, I never kind of read this because I can't see my own errors. I can read their words as though they were there, they're going there. It says, much less can we know the hearts of others or depend upon them. Can't depend on them. He that believes God's testimony in this manner and learns to watch his own heart, in other words, be alert, will find this
is a correct,
though a sad picture, and learns many lessons to his conduct. That if you're being alert, say if you're being alert, you're going to be all right. But even if you're all right, at least you take stock. But much as in our own hearts and in the hearts of others will remain unknown. And we will get, let me get further down in the teaching, you would be able to experience what the Spirit has told me concerning these matters. He goes on, he says, yet whatever wickedness there is in the heart, God sees it. Men may be imposed upon, but God cannot be deceived. He that gets riches and not by right, she's not by right. Why am I? Can't see. You're deceiving me now.
And not be right,
though he may make them his hope, never shall have joy of them. This shows what vexation it is to a worthy man at death, that he must leave his riches behind. But though the wealth will not follow to another world, guilt will. And everlasting torment. The rich man takes things to get an estate and sits brooding over it, but never has any satisfaction in it. By sinful courses, it comes to nothing. And this will be said in Ecclesiastes. Let us be wise in time, all that know. What we get, let us get it honestly. And what we have, use it charitably, that we may be wise for eternity. At the end. So with that, I want us to just go back over this Jeremiah chapter 17. And you can read the whole chapter, but this particular one is what I pulled up. And we'll be able to understand these hearts that we have. And as we go further down in the teaching and I start to break it down, you will start to see the many things and the many ways that we are deceived. Because we are deceived many, 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 many ways. So this morning I pray that what we've heard, that we'll be able to take it on board. And we'll be able to appropriate it to our spirits. Because from next week, you'll be hearing how we are deceived. How we are deceived. I'm going to be a lot more personal, and you're going to be a lot more in depth in this whole thing of deception. So I thank you for listening and being attentive this morning. Amen. Father, we thank you, Almighty God, that you have given us your word so that we would not be deceived. I pray, God, in the name of Jesus Christ, that as your word has gone out to your people, as this introduction has gone out to them, that, Lord, your spirit will work on them. It will show them the areas in their lives where things may not be the way they would like them. It's because, Father, that spirit is at work. So this morning we ask that you would cleanse our hearts and minds. And that, Lord, whatever spirit that's in us may only be the Holy Spirit who leads and guides and takes us into all truth. I pray for those who hear that, Lord, they would use the word that they would have heard today, appropriate it to their spirits, that they would adopt it to what they're doing, and that, Father, when you speak to them through the Holy Spirit, they would hear, that they would draw near to you. Because, Father, you seek to draw near to us. So I thank you for the word this morning. And in the name of Jesus Christ, we put it forward and we say, Lord, let it be done as you, Lord, would have it. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Amen.